Today on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein, it's a film club edition, and we are talking about the film Peanut Butter Falcon. Welcome, everybody, to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. My guest today, a friend of mine, she was an actor. She's now she's a life coach specializing in the Enneagram personality type. She coaches it and teaches it. So it's something my wife introduced me to a long time ago. Leah Lee, everybody. I met Leah a long time ago. Our daughters played soccer together, in a recreational soccer, in I think like the first or second team. I think the second team that she played in, my oldest daughter, Sierra. And Leah and I were both had the same manager for acting, or the same agent or acting agent. So just living in Shoreline together. Great person, great friend. And she suggested a couple films, and Peanut Butter Falcon was one of the movies I had intended to see but had not seen yet. And so I was like, oh, that is a perfect film club kind of movie. So, you know, I do get into the full description of it in the episode. But let me bring it up here. It still stars Shia LaBeouf, and I know there are issues around Shia. But again, there's other actors in the film, and they all did some great, outstanding work. It's a good film. I don't support Shia LaBeouf, his personal life or any of that. But and you know, that's out there. Just so that's out there. Whatever you got going. But quickly, it's a PG-13 movie, 2019 drama adventure. Runs 1 hour and 37 minutes. And quickly, it just says, after running away from a residential nursing home to pursue his dream of becoming a pro wrestler, a man who has Down syndrome befriends an outlaw who becomes his coach and ally. Directed by Tyler Nilsson and Michael Schwartz. So that's it. That's the summary of it. So this is spoiler. This has spoilers through in it. This is a discussion episode for those of you that have been listening. Film club episodes are just like a book club. Except we watch them. We watch that film. And then we get together. I bring bring somebody in who loved that movie or meant something to them, and we talk about that movie. And yeah, and that's it. So it's full discussion. So spoilers beware. If you want to go ahead and watch the movie first and then come back and listen to it, or just, you know, maybe this will spark you an interest in that film. So you'll find out in it what I thought about it. Okay. And I want to thank you for listening. If you have not subscribed yet, please subscribe. Please hit the subscribe button. It spreads viewership out there on whatever platform you're on, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Please leave a review if you are interested, if you do like the show. If you don't like it, don't leave a review. But if you like it, please leave a review. 5 stars, huh? How about that? And want to thank our sponsor, which is my sister podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. So if you want to learn about the home buying process, you can go to yourbuyingahome.com and subscribe to that podcast as well. And there's some videos out on, but mainly podcast form. And that's it. But here we're talking about movies, and my voice sounds much better during the actual podcast, because we shot this. I recorded this a couple months ago, but right now I'm allergies are hitting me hard, and so it's messed up my voice, which is why this is a day late coming out. But that's neither here nor there. You're here for film club, where the number one rule is we talk about film club. So thank you, and thank you for coming. So sit back, open your hearts and open your ear holes, and let's listen to Film Club Peanut Butter Falcon.
You're watching the movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters. You find this. So go on and
welcome, Leah.
Hey.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
To have you watch a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Really, an honor.
So this is part of a new project that I'm doing as part of the You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein podcast and website and reviewing. I love talking about movies more than I do even reviewing them. And maybe even more than I do seeing them. I love just discussing a film. And so I always like talking to people about what their favorite movie is, or ones that are meaningful to them, to kind of, you know, I think it gives a little glimpse into that person, person's life. And so I ask people, what are your give me three of your favorite movies or movies that are really impactful to you. And I'll pick one and we'll go there. Now, you had two in your list that I had not seen. But this was the one I was most curious about, because I had really wanted to see it when it came out. You chose Peanut Butter Falcon.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Or Falcon. I know. Peanut Butter Falcon, a 2019 film. So it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
So this had to have bumped things out. Was this pick because it was, is it a meaningful film to you, or is it a favorite now? Did it take a slot in the third?
It's just an underrated, unknown film, in my opinion, that someone randomly told me about, and by the title was like, what the heck is that? And watched it with my family and just absolutely fell in love with it. So it kind of is simple, but like touches all the feels and, it just really came to mind.
So for the listeners, if you haven't watched it yet, or if you picked it up, to remind you about it. I'll just from Wikipedia, just being straight honest here. The Peanut Butter Falcon is a 2019 American comedy drama film written and directed by Tyler Nielsen and Michael Schwartz in their directorial debut, and stars Shia LaBeouf, Dakota Johnson, John Hawks, and Zach Gottsagen. The plot follows a young man with Down syndrome who escapes from an assisted living facility and befriends a wayward fisherman on the run. As the two form a rapid bond, a social worker attempts to track them. Filming took place in North Carolina and Georgia. So it was like a sleeper hit. It came out in August 2019, grossing $23 million, making it the highest grossing independent film of the year, and received praise from critics. So sleeper hit. So that means it didn't make a lot of money, but it got a lot of notice. I remember when it came out, because I like Shia LaBeouf's acting. Yeah. I'll be very clear on that, is acting. And I didn't really know much about Dakota Johnson at the time, but I just saw her. So Cha Cha Real Smooth came out last year that she's in. And that was one of my favorite films of last year. It's in my top list. And so I really liked her performance in there. I put her in my nominees for best actress for that.
Okay. I'm gonna have to watch that now.
That's an Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
Exclusive. And it looks like, Peanut Butter Falcon got on Rotten Tomatoes a critic rating of 95% and audience score of 96%. So it's amazing being so films will be so enjoyed by people, yet apparently not bring it in. I don't know what the budget was. Let's say $20.5 million. Seems to be universally appealed, and strangely, like you said, it's not really on. I don't feel like it's on the radar of people, because I mentioned it and my wife was like, "What? I haven't heard of that." My daughter had never heard of that.
Yeah.
Trying to see what the budget was. I don't know. after shooting a 20, oh, it did a proof of concept video. And yeah, so I can't see how much it made. Oh, budget was $6.2 million. Oh, so it did okay.
Sounds so like that was the budget, or budget, was that?
Budget was $6.2 million.
Yeah.
And it made $23 million.
Yeah.
So that seems decent, you know. I worry that we won't see many films like this in the theater anymore, but
exactly
for a while.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody, my favorite film of 2021 was Coda, which I might need to revisit my top. Well, actually my favorites list that I did recently, I didn't have that on there, but I also didn't have like what I think is the best movies necessarily. I had bad movies on there. That I've rewatched my rewatch list.
Yeah.
But Coda is probably a strong favorite movie, I think.
See, I haven't watched it yet because I don't like watching movies by myself. Because I want to connect with people.
Right.
And that like all of the like deep, meaningful movies that, you know, are like no one else wants to feel with me.
I don't want to feel things. So I might feel like, things. Don't know, Leah.
It's true. No, I'm serious. So
but it's not even like a, okay, look, it's not like it's After Sun, which I thought was boring, but it's either here or there, which made people feel some feels, I guess. But
yeah,
it's not like it's, Coda's a nice story. And even this one is a nice story. You know, it's a nice story, right? And it has have a, see, you had told me I was going to cry, and spoilers, by the way, everyone should be alerted to this. These are discussion episodes are spoiler fulfilled. You said you're going to cry a lot. I'm like, okay, okay. So I was kind of prepared. And granted, I had to pause the movie for a while because I had a teenager breaking, you know, dealing with a breakup. So I had to like stop.
Oh,
so
it
pulled me out for a little bit and got back in. But I was saying like, you know, we hit the ending and I'm like, well, okay, we hit, I thought was the ending. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. That sucks. Oh, I can't believe.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, spoiler, everybody. Shut it off now if you don't want to know the very end of this film. I think he's dead.
And I know.
And I'm sad and I'm like, that sucks. But I was like, I'm not crying about it though. The second he was alive, oh my God, then emotions. I don't know why him living turned out to be the bigger emotion for me. And it's only like, it's a brief second and then it ends. And I was like, okay, I was like controllable. But I was like, that evoked such an emotion from me when I realized he was alive. Like his death was a bummer. His living was so, cathartic. Like that was crazy. I'd never experienced that before. Where I easily thought it'd be the death, but it was like his life. That got me.
I want to explore that more with you because it really is.
So what to you are the best things about this film? Like if someone said, hey, what are your three best things? What to you are the best things?
I think honestly, so like rewatching it, I didn't ball my eyes out as much as I think I did the first time. But okay. I think the first time I was so moved because the humanity of these characters, the simplicity of them, but honestly, like how different particularly these three characters are. And they pulled me into, you know, I can't really relate to them. Mm-hmm. Probably her most of all, Dakota's character. But how they just interacted with each other was very endearing, very real. And yet so like nuanced, you mm-hmm. know? So that first and foremost was amazing. The second thing I really loved was just that it, like, this journey, but it wasn't this forced journey. It was this, you know, obviously a literal journey.
Yeah.
But it was like just the revelations that they had together. And, it was just story-wise very well written, to present as a movie and yet very natural.
Yeah. I've discovered lately, even character driven pieces, I mean, I can like them, but for me, like I really want a story in particular. Sometimes I'm like, for a character, I'm like, I'd rather see it as a play. I'd rather see that as a play.
Right.
I love the story and how they can suck me in with that. And there's plenty of character driven stories or films that if they can tie in a story for you and it's just, and they're not just sitting there or I don't, After Sun, whatever. I'm going to make fun of that film for a while. This was a very compelling story, and they said someone called it a modern Mark Twain tale. And I don't know if that's because I don't know if that was a purposeful attempt or if it just got marketed. I never know that because I know from doing films and plays myself, somebody will say something and like, oh, well, obviously it was like this. And I'm like, yeah, I was clearly, yeah, it definitely wasn't just going for a story that I thought was cool. Yeah, I was definitely comparing it to that Greek tragedy. So I don't know if it was intentional or not, or if they just leaned on that once they created the story. But
everyone's inspired by something, right? There's really no original story, so there's probably some inspiration.
Yeah, and yeah, the story just, it really did suck me in. I love the, you know, usually when you find worlds that you aren't familiar with. Like every movie that has a world that you don't know, there's one character new to the world, right? That brings you into it and helps explain things. And this one, we actually kind of got two people. Yeah. We actually had two newbies into this world. The patient, what's his name? Peanut Butter.
Zach.
And I'm so bad with names now. Dakota, her. I used to never remember actors' names, and now I can never remember their character names. and so Dakota as Eleanor.
Eleanor, yeah.
So you got to see that from two different vantage points, right?
Right.
And in some ways, then Fisherman there gets sucked into Zach's world of wrestling. He gets brought into, what is this? I don't know if I can get my brother to watch the film if I tell him it's a drama, but he's such a wrestling fan. I was like, I don't know if I tell him that Mick Foley and Jake Roberts are in it, if that will, if I'll get him to watch it all the way to that point.
Yeah.
But I want to. It could work.
It could.
Yeah, the story got me. And like you said, with the nuanced, the acting is just so, I mean, Shia LaBeouf can be almost flawless as an actor.
Yeah.
He's just so that character. You know, he definitely questioned it. You know, I've heard he's kind of a bit method of an actor. And go like, do you need to do that? I don't know. But then you see results like this and I go,
I know.
Wow. Like, you're really intense and like, you're really good just at creating these little moments and just 100% that character.
Yeah.
And transforms.
Yeah.
And Dakota, I mean, how much her role is different from others, I don't, it's not that far as much of a stretch as Shia does from each film, for sure.
Right.
But
I agree.
She's still just like that scene in the convenience store when he first meets her and he's flirting with her. And I was like, first I'm like, dude, how do you even think you have a chance? Yeah. And at the end of this scene, even when she flips him off, I'm like, you totally have a chance. Like, how do you do that? Yeah. Is that the confidence I could never get? Oh my God. It was just,
I love her wit toward him though, too. And it's just like, like you said, I mean, just his, there's one other particular scene when they're on the beach and he's like, oh, it's so moving. He's talking with Zach about, you know, that he can't do much. And he's like rolling, you know, a little cigarette and just like how he picks out the pieces, you know, it's just, it's so simple and it's so real. But, I think those are the things that really draw me in. And the dialogue, it's not like dialogue. It's just, they're just speaking, you know, it doesn't feel written.
I think I remember, like, I didn't look it up after, but I think I did see some making of behind the scene little vignettes of this a long time ago. I think I remember them talking about to Shia about working with actors with an actor with Down syndrome and what it was like.
Yeah.
And I do think I remember him saying there was somewhat of some improv needed on it to go with it, and the directors talking about how great Shia was with Zach there, just going along and keeping the scene going and getting them to do things. Yeah. And I mean, that process, it was just like, you have to have, that's the part I always worry about as an actor, is can I be so into this role that I can stay in this character and do something completely not related to it and seem like the character. I get, if something would keep me up at night, that would, like,
right.
Like
trust that you have to have in yourself and the trust, you know, 'cause what you do affects the other players, the other characters, the other actors. And so
it is weird because I improv. So I'm like, I don't know why. If I do improv, I'm fine. It's just improv. But if I'm doing this scene, I feel like I've diverted. So maybe I've just never done enough stuff that I'm allowed to divert from the script that I haven't got to play within these established characters as much. And he has the freedom to. And granted, in film, you have that freedom that you can just keep going and make things up where plays, where I feel completely engaged with the character, you can't just make stuff up. You like have to stick to the script, right?
Yeah.
So you don't get that. That is a weird thing. In plays, how you have more freedom as an actor to do things, more things in between the line. You're less controlled by a director. However, you are literally almost breaking the law if you add lines, right? You can't just add lines like they do in films. Like it's
that's so
big no. But a film, they're like, whatever, that script's a suggestion. Just keep going, right? That's weird. Yeah. That's so weird.
Yeah. But totally, especially having someone as special as Zach to be able to, you know, engage with him the way he engages with the world. I'm sure naturally, but at the same time, like the freedom that can bring is like, that feels like such a dream to me, you know? But the trust also, the trust of the, you know, there had to have been a relationship off screen. Beforehand. I mean, and that chemistry, you can see it. It's just, it's so beautiful, so endearing, so raw. And you feel that, you know, honestly, having, you know, someone who has Down syndrome, they're like the most joyful people ever. And the fact that this guy who's like knows he's making every wrong decision possible ends up having this this young kid, you know, in his life that just like, how could it not draw the good guy out of him? And it's really like to be on set to watch that would just melt my, I would be like, I'm done. Like this was seriously, like, this is life. This is like living. So yeah, so cool.
So one of my, did you want to touch on, Diva, last good thing about it before I move on here to my criticism that I don't know. Thanks. You don't need to. You can only have two good things about it. Yeah. I mean, we touched a lot there. I just didn't want to feel like I cut you off. I interrupted you in your flow.
I mean, we talked about, you know, like I liked the characters and the story. And I don't know.
Okay. So here's what I wonder. And you said you have experience with people with Down syndrome, right? Okay. Yeah. In your life. I don't to that. I thought I did for the long time, but then it turned out it wasn't Down syndrome. It was something else. And I was like, oh, okay. What I wondered during it, part of me was like, cause I remember that show Life Goes On. So I know there's actors with Down syndrome a lot. There were elements that I did get bothered a couple times, like wondering, I was like, is the actor being used? Like, are they all, like, are they cool that they're just running around in their underwear? Because there's a lot of actors that wouldn't necessarily be cool with that.
Right.
And I mean, I didn't feel like it was being used as a punchline. I mean, there was parts of that element that's funny, but and then I was like, well, as long as they could have said something, or maybe they're not offended. But even if they're not offended, should I be offended for them? Should I? Right. Were they being you? Was there ever an element in there, or did it seem like? I don't know. I guess there is part of me that's like, I don't think I'm knowledgeable enough to know if somebody with Down syndrome is, if they would the courts consider them consensual, that they could make that decision for themselves. And I know there's people who get married and have kids and stuff. So I'm like, I know that there are faculties there. I don't know where the judgment is, but is that me being in Seattle too long? Is that what happened? Like, is that why?
Honestly, I think I totally understand what you're saying. I agree to an extent. There was a part of me that saw that, you know, in the film, and I'm like, as a person, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, as an actor, is he comfortable with this? Like, very vulnerable. And so I think that there are different severities of Down syndrome. And so I have a very close friend who her son is nonverbal. And so, you know, there's that aspect. And then there's another aspect where my daughter goes to school with the sweetest girl, but she is a teenage girl. And so she doesn't have that filter of, you know, well, let's, you know, you don't invite yourself over. So those kinds of things.
Okay. Like, yeah. The, you know the what spectrum I mean? Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I totally trust that this was not taking advantage of an actor. I think that there absolutely was probably still some parent involvement.
Yeah.
And
it was interesting because there was a time at times I was like, I was like, well, I don't know if the acting's there. But then I was like, well, I've had interactions and I was like, well, actually, I don't know if that was. What's interesting about it is it could be played. I was like, well, he literally has Down syndrome. He's not playing like he has Down syndrome. Exactly. So sometimes lines are being repeated, but that's how it would come out anyway.
Yep.
And I had to get over with the fact that it wasn't going to sound like Shia LaBeouf doing a
it's
line.
Not
right.
Produced.
It's like, well, it's not. So I don't know. Like sometimes he probably was just say this. And I've had actors that I've had to deal with that don't have anything with them. that are normative. and they right. they just have to say the line because I just need to move on and you got to get on. Right. So
yeah.
Okay, that was one thing. The other one troubling spot for me. I was like, okay, sometimes they're in a swamp and sometimes they're in an ocean, which I need to know how this works. I'm like, I think I don't understand the geography going on here. And maybe I missed the scene. Was there an explanation of it? Of why?
Yeah.
Because I started in my head after the film, I started going, well, maybe were they just on a peninsula? Is that what it was? And they were going in and out of?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, actually, I thought that it was in Florida, but that doesn't make sense.
No. Yeah, it wasn't.
Where was it located?
It was a Carolina.
Look at us. We did our
It wasn't Florida movie. Because they were going to Florida was the big thing at the end.
Yeah.
In my head, because it felt like it was the Everglades a bunch.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. Wrestling school, they're heading to North Carolina. So
they're heading to North Carolina.
Or no, it must be in North Carolina because Zach, the Saltwater Rednecks Wrestling School in North Carolina, and they were heading south.
Right, right.
They must have been in North Carolina.
Yeah, and
I have no understanding of that geography then.
That's true. And so maybe that was actually another part of the movie that the location was kind of its character, you know, a character of its own.
Yeah.
And how complex it was. Cause there were rivers, there was like, I don't even know. I want to say bayou, but I don't even know.
It felt like a bayou. It didn't feel like these Everglade areas. Okay. I was very confused on that. They always ended up in the ocean. And I was like, well, why aren't you just taking the ocean all the way down? I don't understand this.
I don't think it was an ocean.
You don't think so?
But it looked far. Because it came in. I know. We should do a little bit more research after the show.
I am gonna, because I am very, I just thought I missed something. And I'm gonna be looking, because I just kept going like, well, that looks like a beach and that's the ocean. But now that you say that, I was like, I guess it could be like a gulf or a bay. Bay is a word. Yeah, bay is a thing.
Is the word.
A bay is a thing.
So the fact that he was like, Tyler Shia's character was like, look, in 30 minutes, we're like going to be underwater. So can you keep up? You got to keep up. So that's at the beginning of their journey. Right. And so, to me, that was like he knew the tide was coming in and coming out, but they were walking. So
a lot of times people, I knew this from Lyft driving, would come to Seattle and not understand that we weren't on the ocean.
Right.
Because it looks like we're on the ocean, but then wait, why is there an island out there? I thought we were on the ocean. We're like, well, you're not. You're in the sound. Actually, the motion's like 50 miles away. They're like, what? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of islands in the way until you get there. Yeah. You'll never get a tidal wave here. Unless there's an earthquake in the sound, but that's besides the point. The locks, like we're in the sound. Those are not. I sometimes even forget myself that if we go down to the beach in Edmonds and stick your feet in the water, that's not the ocean.
Right.
Salt water, but it's not the ocean. And I'm like, I forget that sometimes and go, oh, yeah, I'm not near the beach. My daughter's never been to a beach. Okay. I forget that.
I know.
So if it's probably, I'm guessing it's probably something like that.
Yeah.
That there's just that there's an inland part of it that we don't know because.
Exactly.
I would have loved a scene to explain that a little bit to me if they could have worked that in so I could have understood the geography, because that was a distraction to me. Was like, why are they in the ocean? Now they're in the swamp. Why are they in the ocean? Now they're in the swamp.
So I was a little thrown off about
because I think in particular I don't think about things like that in a movie theater. I can't.
Yeah.
But if I'm at home watching it, my brain I it does have a little more. Maybe it's my undiagnosed ADHD. that I'm discovering. That I the attentiveness is a little harder, so I do think about more things that happened. So I can get tricked better in a theater with things because I'm just so in, it's all I can consume.
That's true. So sure,
that might be.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. But it's good to notice like what distracts you, what kind of things pull you out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
And that can either help you enjoy it more, or it can take away.
Usually I'm the story just engages me usually and I don't think about it, but I maybe in a movie I still would have, because I was like, I didn't say it out loud, but in my head I was like, why are they in the ocean? They were just in the swamp.
That's true.
I was like, but the first time it happened, then I was like, oh, now they're going to be on the ocean going there. So I was like, well, that's going to be a weird story. It's like, now they're going to go. And then they, then they went back and forth a couple times and I was like, wait a minute. I don't know where they are.
That's true. Cause then they ended up on the beach and then, but they were just off the road. So
yeah. The geography of this was crazy.
That's true. Yeah. I think I forgave it because I don't know the South and I knew it was the South. And so I was like, I don't think I felt like I needed to pay attention to it.
It's funny. I don't know why. Like I can watch a show about Middle Earth and they could go all over the place and make it up. But suddenly they tell me it's North Carolina or whatever. I don't know where it was, but suddenly I'm all caught up on, well, this geography doesn't make sense. Why can't I just let it be an imaginary geography of this thing? I don't know. Suddenly I'm forcing this. Oh no, this has to be reality.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous. Okay.
That's all right.
Was there a lesson you took away from this film?
Yeah, for sure.
What was the lesson to you?
For me, I look at Zach's character, Zach, who, I think of people who have Down syndrome. They're very innocent and typically regarded as, you know, children, spoken to as children, you know, that kind of is played out with Dakota's character, like, you know, taking care of him, and yet the opposite of, you know, Shia is saying like, he's fine, he can do this, he's good. And so I think for me, because I am familiar with Down syndrome, I've seen a spectrum, I've lived in it with some people, I was encouraged because I think that not a lot of people know how to speak to someone who's different than them.
Yeah.
And whether that is with Down syndrome or, you know, cerebral palsy or, you know, so many things. I think that they're just not comfortable, because they're not experienced in it. And so for me, the lesson, was that I love how different people are, even though he still had this like dream of being a wrestler. The innocence maintained where he really believed that this was a legit place. Like it, he was genuinely going to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
And so that innocence and also the reality of the world that he was being drugged through or lived in, you know, his family left him, like how horrible. And he knew that, right? He knew that in a way. But yet, so that difference of, the childlike innocence, I always want, and I hope that I maintain some of that throughout my life. And also, you know, seeing reality, but not taking it too seriously. And really like learning and being comfortable to engage with people that I wouldn't maybe feel comfortable with engaging with, but in a normal way, like I would with, you know, someone like I'm speaking to you.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that really, was kind of the lesson in how Shia reacted with Zach, with like a normal, you know, person, like his brother, like a friend, and how yet on the other side, Dakota was like, you can't speak to him that way. So yeah, I that was very endearing, very encouraging, very endearing. And, I hope that I can take that, you know, through my life. I that's why I think it's special to me.
Okay. I like that lesson, and I will add to that lesson. Don't kick the hornet's nest.
I know, right?
I was like, when he told that little story of it, I was like, oh, he's going to give. And then at the end, I thought he was like, that's what happened. He kicked the hornet's nest and it's over for him. But then
I like how precise and concise your answer was and how mine was like, no. I'm so fluffy and sorry. Well,
you did the nice part. I usually have two. I have a funny one and a real one if I do it.
Okay. So I have a funny one too. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything came back, and how his importance was played out was whether you are invited to his birthday party weren't invited to his birthday party. And I just like,
so the
perfect, like totally perfect. And you know,
so sort of like be nice and you get an invite to my birthday party.
Yeah. Like you are deserving of an invitation to my birthday. Wait,
was it his birthday? Was it his birthday? No, it wasn't. Okay.
That's how he gauged.
Yeah.
You're not how cool you are or how not cool you are. Yeah, you know?
That is awesome.
And then he even said, when you saw it, like they were on the raft, after he was baptized, Zach was baptized. They were on the raft floating down, and you could tell, Shia's character was like really sad. And he said, Tyler, you get all my birthday wishes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's like saying I love you, but in this like really profound way.
Yeah.
That speaks so honestly and so simply. I love that language.
Yeah, that is great. So every film I do, you know, I judge the 3L system: love it, right, like it, or lose it, right? And I give this film a love it. I did love it. I thank you for reminding me about it and sharing it with me. And that's why I'm doing this show, is to be reminded one of show movies that I missed, or it's a great thing for me to experience and do that. And so thank you for bringing this to my attention. I assume it gets a love it from you, obviously.
100%. Yes. Yeah,
recommended. So definitely check it out there. It is available. You could watch it free on Amazon Prime, but it has to go through Freevee. So there's commercials.
Right.
And I tried to do that. In the first commercial, I said, I'm out. Nope. I went and did $1.99. You rented for $1.99. I don't know if that's a sale or what, but it was worth the $2 to not have commercials. So do that. That's my recommendation.
We bought it.
Yeah. Or buy it. You know, can't tell people to buy it without seeing it, though. That just seems so foolish and reckless, but you'll probably like it. So, yeah.
They'll probably like it. So that's just it. But, you know. Yeah,
I do need to. I have a neighborhood chat group. I'm thinking now I need to start messaging people before I go buy something. And go, hey, any chance anyone has this on DVD?
True.
I just don't want to get the what's a DVD responses. I don't know.
You're like, that. I'm not below it.
Yeah. So
let's do that still.
Lily, thank you for coming by. And
thanks for inviting me. It was really fun.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this sort of a film club. And thanks for dropping by, and thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference, love. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech, it is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas. Yeah.